I want you to go back to a time in your life that you can remember when you just said, I can't do this no more. And the first time in your life that you quit. When you quit, it can be two things. It can be good for you or it can be bad for you, depending on what you quit. It's one thing to quit playing a team sport. It's another thing to quit doing your drugs. So you see what I'm saying? If you're quitting something that is bad for you, that's what's actually good for you. But if you're quitting something you just don't like anymore, you develop a pattern and a behavior that becomes now a foothold later on in life, but you don't see it yet. We've got to hold on. Don't let go of anything just because it's tough. Just hold on. Just hold on. How many of us have gone through what we're going through and just like, I just want to quit right now. Just want to quit right now. You know that thing called ambiguity? Because you don't quite see what's going on. Things are just kind of ambiguous. They're not very clear. Not fuzzy, just ambiguous. I get a little bit of something, but there's not clarity to it. And then I get something else that comes from God, and it just doesn't match up with where I'm at. I feel like I'm walking through life in ambiguity because I don't quite understand where we're going. But if you could just look back over the course of your life, you're not where you used to be either. Just because you're not where you thought you should be by the time that you're at right now doesn't mean you're never going to get to where God says you're going to go. But you're not where you started when you first got saved either. Do you understand? When we first got saved, it was a little bit different. We had a tendency to kind of be, you know, looking for that milk. But as time went on and continued and we continued to progress in God, some things in our life made us put the bottle away and look for some substance that we can sink our teeth into. But sometimes it's our circumstances that make us just seek after something that we can hold on to. But if it wasn't for the circumstances in our life that would test our faith and test where we're at, we would stay the same child that we were when we first got saved. We have got to keep moving forward in God. We've got to begin to grow in God. But because of our circumstances, what happens is we want to go back to where we once were. Now, we came out of the womb. And when we came out, we didn't take off running. We had to process some things that had to go through our intellect. And we had to learn it as we were going. Sometimes we watched our siblings and we would follow after our siblings. Correct? Because there were some times that we just could not reach mom and dad going somewhere. So we had to reach or look to someone that was close by. It's usually our siblings. And if we don't have siblings, you're the only child, then the only thing you can do is begin to do things on your own and kind of figure it out as you go. Kind of like when we are when we get saved. Because we don't all come saved as a family. We come in usually one at a time because the other family's trying to get the other part of the family to get saved. And we're the ones just fighting against what's good for us. Just like, remember the child that when they first gave those little peas? Remember the little peas? You put it in the child? And they didn't want it at first. But after a while, they begin to get an appetite for something. I guess this is good for me. After the course of time, we begin to grow. But you know how babies begin to crawl? They begin to strengthen the arms, their knees, their quads, their legs. The biggest muscle in your body is your quads. Am I right? Uh-huh. Actually, if you want to burn the most calories, let me just help you a little bit. Work your legs out. Can I get spiritual with y'all? Why is it the greatest muscle of mass is on your quads, your legs? Because walking in the Spirit requires you to be strengthened in the Lord. And the only way you're ever going to get strengthened in the Lord is when adversity comes. And when the pressures of life get put on you, because other than that, you wouldn't work out that area of your life called the walk in God. When all of a sudden now all the pressures come on you and you don't quite have an understanding because it doesn't make any sense and you're holding on to what thus saith the Lord, but it goes the total opposite. You're just strengthening your legs and you're burning off some excess stuff in your life that you don't understand. But when the more that you burn off in your life, you begin to get trim and more in shape to do the walk into the things of God. Maybe we just don't understand about the pressures of life, right? Because we got it all together, don't we? Well, we got it all together. Because I don't know about you, but when I do my leg workouts, I pray for the anointing in this house. Because I walk out that room sometimes, y'all wouldn't know, but the moment I hit the, oh, I can bend my leg now. Oh, Lord, I can bend my leg. I can bend my leg. See, after you work out your legs a little bit, they begin to shake. And I ain't talking about the Elvis Presley shake. I'm talking about the shaking that you can't even control. It just goes like this and it don't stop. Try walking up a flight of stairs after you work your legs out. Every step you take, your whole body shakes. Now, much less when you try to get some rest in a room. You got it? You follow me? Yes. Now try to do your business. Lord, that's the longest journey down. Much less the journey to get back up. Because you've worked out the biggest muscle in your life. Right here in your body is your quads. What we have to understand is we're going through a workout, guys. And it has to do with our faith. It has to do with the circumstances in our life. But in the process of working that out, you're burning off more than you even know. Do you understand? Turn the back ones on, Daniel, please, sir. We're going through a workout. It's a workout of faith. And I don't know about you. And if you're anything like I believe that you are, you hate figuring out the sovereignty of God, right? Let me explain it to you, maybe if you don't understand. The sovereignty of God is something that we just never understand. Because a lot of people will say, oh, it's just the sovereignty of God. But it's not, it don't talk about it in here. It's a character that we have to figure out about God. And Lord Almighty, it's not easy. Because you know, most of us, when we get instructions, maybe most men, get us to install something in your house, we're not going to ask for the directions, we're going to ask for the picture. Because we don't want to go through the little formalities to make it right. We just want to look about how it's going to turn out to look. And we'll do it based on what we know and how to make it come out looking like that. But why do we always have excess screws and nails and bolts and everything? But then if you try to put this thing together, it just wobbles all over the place. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Because it looks like it's the way it looks on the picture. But what is the things that are missing? The nuts and bolts that are necessary to keep it firm. You following me? Try to do that in your vehicle. There's this one little... I have a relative. Reminds me of a road trip we once took. We were going to Laredo. A caravan. There was 2 or 3 cars going. One of the other family members' car blew a hose. We have 2 siblings that come out of the other vehicle. One sibling goes into the store, it's a busted radiator hose, and is looking for something to buy that might help remedy the situation. True story. Well, he comes out with some tape. It says it repairs holes. Remember that one? But the other sibling pulled out a pocket knife and a quarter. with a pocket knife and a quarter fix the radiator hose because he had something to do with knowing about vehicles. The other person, which is his brother, didn't know anything to do about vehicles. He knew how to buy things for somebody to fix it for them. But the one that had the pocket knife in the quarter cut off a part of that hose, attached it back, screwed it together with no screwdriver, but with the quarter, screwed it back together, and we were on the road. Do you remember that story? Oh, those were your sons. I'm sorry. Okay. But watch this. Here comes this knucklehead. And a little scrawny little nose looking at. What are you going to do with that knife? That you want bubble gum with that quarter. And no inclination what was going on. I just saw water dripping. They open up the hood of the car. I said, that's not my realm. I just don't even bother. Quarter, you got money, I can go get me a bubble gum. Do you understand? We have a tendency to find out who we really are. How many of y'all have driven down towards Laredo? Raise your hand. Laredo, Texas. Do y'all understand that is not a very beautiful drive? It is not a very safe place to be on the road, on the side of the road. So when that all happened, I was a little kid, I'm going to stay over here by mom and dad, see what's going on, because we were in a car that was working. So if I don't give up my seat, I have a place to sit. Do you understand? See what I mean? But once we got it started, we were on the road. Some things just happen for a reason, and we don't understand why. But those circumstances begin to teach you what's inside of you. Do you understand? But did you notice that I knew that story so well and I didn't do anything with that car but just watch? Because you don't know during the circumstances that you're in who's watching. Who's watching? Whose radiator hose is going to bust now? And how are you going to react? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a good message. Really, it is. It is a good message. Ooh, I got it together. You know how many times I tried PowerPoint and it didn't just don't work? I'm glad you're here. Glad you joined us. Beautiful. Beautiful. The power of words, baby. The power of words. Power of words. Power of words. Power of words. See, we hear words all the time. Thank you, I heard that. Sometimes we think, well, I've heard this message before, I don't need this. And no, because you know me, I don't go with the traditional. See if you can finish this sentence. Sticks and stones, but what?
Words will never hurt.
Say that again, what?
Words will never hurt you.
You know, we start off that saying when we were little kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Then why are you crying about someone hurting your feelings with the word then? Why are you crying when someone says you ain't nothing anyhow, but sticks and stones will break my bones? The words will never hurt me. There's power in the words. We know the scripture. We've heard it forever. Even when we were babies back there, on the bottle, we heard it. Words have the power of life and death. Well, my question to you is from here to where you're at now, how come you haven't applied it? What happened? Why we get quiet? What happens, what comes out of us is based on our circumstances, correct? Don't get me wrong. I say the words that are colorful too. And don't look at me like, Pastor, you the pastor. We have choice words at choice times. I understand. When I hit my finger with a hammer and nail, It ain't going to be a beautiful hallelujah probably coming out. It'd be a thank you maybe, but see. Look, can we be real? Can we talk for real? Because I hate standing up here and thinking, okay, I'm a pastor and I got to make sure that when I come forth and bring forth the work, that people need to look at me and respect me as the pastor. Would you stop all that, Marty? They already know that we are all human and we all have some errors. We all have some faults. We all have some circumstances. And these circumstances just are not very favorable in our life. But what is it why does it come out? Well, then you don't have Christ in you. Shut your mouth. There's two kingdoms at war, heaven and hell. Heaven is great. Why do I feel like I'm living in hell? Because sometimes what's inside of me is based on circumstance. The pressures of life that have me weighed down, but has a tendency to make me speak something that is not the power of words of exaltation or exhortation or uplifting or encouraging. It can be actually words that come in and tear us down. We have a tendency to do that, guys. Don't sugarcoat gospel. Don't do that. Especially truth. None of us like to hear truth. I think I need deliverance because I'm getting a little flushed right now. We don't like truth. Can I? Have you ever had to tell someone the truth? And you knew they weren't going to like the truth? It was very pleasant, wasn't it? Wasn't pleasant? Oh, so everybody has the same experience with truth, right? It's usually a bad experience, isn't it? When you have to tell someone the truth and they don't like it. Okay, see, I don't want to get into y'all's business. Let me get in my business. Let me get in my business so nobody gets offended, leaves the church, pastor offended me, I got church hurt by that pastor over there, he always wears earrings anyhow, he never sticks to the PowerPoint, he just never even passed the first PowerPoint when some, you know, all kinds of stuff happens when you leave here. I'm the culprit, so let me just work on me. If you don't know by now, I'm a man. Just making sure, because sometimes lights are down, we just kind of lose. Man. This man has a tendency not to like truth. When I'm the one being told the truth concerning me. So usually my response, I'm talking about me, y'all can smile, it's good, I'm talking about me. My response usually, I thank God, you know, Holy Spirit knew that this was going to be a topic, and my beautiful wife stayed with my beautiful children. It's a good night. Because when my honey, the Puerto Rican, went like this, I knew I was already in trouble. So my defense mechanism goes up quick. What you gonna tell me? Huh? Do I remember what? I said that? I did not say it like that. It may have came out that way, but that's not what I meant. This is my wife. Oh, Lord, she's probably going to get on me. We're not going to post this CD on the website. Why are you raising your voice at me? I'm not raising my voice. I'm just trying to make a point. Why did I all of a sudden have a tendency to just raise my voice? because she was telling me the truth, and I didn't like it because it was coming out of me. It made me look like, boy, you a fool. You should have never did that anyhow. You understand? We all fall prey to the fact that what comes out of our mouth is usually based upon things of our circumstance. How many of y'all know I love my wife? How many times you seen me just love on my wife here? And when she walks through here and she's all looking, sooky, sooky, I tell her she's sooky, sooky. Now, does that mean that my life at home is so just beautiful, wonderful, and we never argue, we never have a disagreement, and we are never, ever having to tell each other what we said to each other hurt each other? I don't know about you, but we're human. We have disagreements. And she's always right. I'm always wrong. I know how to keep a happy home. I know how to keep a happy home. You just... Well, she'll be the first one to tell you, you're not the same like when I first met you. She'll be the first to tell you that. Why? Because over the course of time, with my actions of what I went through and how I dealt with circumstances, began to reflect in my home. And when it reflected in my home, even my kids were able to tell, Daddy's not happy. But then as I began to watch and be mindful of how I was talking and how I was responding to circumstances, then I could hear my kids say, there's something different. Something different. Do you understand? You know why there's power in the words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's Scripture. God said, let it be, and it was. Words frame us in our existence based on what we believe to be true. Do you understand that? Now, just because someone tells you something that is a lie, but if you hear it long enough into your ears and you begin to harp on it, you have a tendency either to reject it or to accept it. It's your choice. But if you don't reject it and you're saying, but I don't accept it either, but if you hear it enough times, repetition becomes something that comes into your spirit now, and it begins to bring in toxins to your soul. Where your mind, your will, and your emotions are. Do you understand? There's power. There's power in the words. Detoxing our soul. Rid the negative experiences, words, and thoughts. How many of you can recall a very negative experience in your life right now? Raise your hand. Both legs, feet, toes, you borrow somebody else because we all have a negative experience, correct? These experiences, if they continue to be negative, guess what happens? You begin to think that it's you. Why? Because what you see going around you all the time, you have a tendency to feel, well, if this is always around me. I'll give you an example. If poverty is always around me and I'm unable to pay my bills, does that mean that I'm always going to be in poverty? No. It just means maybe I have to learn something of what I'm going through right now to make some sort of change so that I can keep my checkbook balanced. Correct? Meaning that I got to make some changes in my spending habits in order for me to have more at the end of the month. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be in poverty all my life. Maybe I had just a frivolous spending habit. When I used to go to H-E-B to go get my meat to barbecue, you can ask my beloved wife. She'll, you never look at prices. Has she not told you that? He would just grab and just put all kinds of meat in there. We get to the register and he said, wow, that's a lot of money. Talking about me. And bother looking to see if there was a sale on any kind of meat. Just throw the meat in there because I want to barbecue everything. For four people. Enough to feed 20. Because, you know, you just can't turn on the grill for just like a couple of hot dogs and burgers. You got to put on some ribs. You got to put on some fajitas. You got to put something on there. You just can't turn on the grill, light, you know, the charcoal and the wood just for just that. So let's kind of stretch it out a little bit. By the time I knew it, I was spending all my money. And I don't have no money for a light bill. How many times you barbecue this week? Why you ask me that? Because I already know you. Do you see what I mean? But because of my circumstances, not having money, not understanding how to manage my money, didn't mean that I was going to be in poverty all my life. If I didn't change that, well, maybe some things are going to continue down that road, and I won't know how to steward my money. Right? Negative experiences in life. The negative experiences in life have a tendency to make you feel like that is you. Or a negative experience with a certain someone. Okay, let me talk about me again. I'm just talking about me. I don't want to talk about nobody else. I'm talking about me. I was once upon a time, in a not so distant future or past or present, I was married once before. All my negative experiences, I would point my finger to the individual, but realizing it was me all along, but I would never admit to it. I'm not going to admit to mama. What's wrong with you? Why? It ain't me. It's you. What do you mean we hit a couple of checks bounce? No. That wasn't me. Maybe I should talk facing the cross because some of y'all just... I didn't know how to manage my account. We got a joint account. She knew how to manage money to the penny. Not me. I used to tell my mama growing up, Ma, I want these shoes. Mijo, we don't have money right now. Just write a check. You got checks. Write a check. Y'all. You just write a check. Because when I see you write a check, I know that we get what you're writing the check for. We get it at home. I want these shoes. I got to have these shoes. These are the new things. That I just got to have them. Back then, $60 was $60. Oh, no. Don't tell me still $60. No, it's not. Because you have some of these children in here, but the shoes that they want now, the layaway goes on for about 3 or 4 months, or you got to go ahead and go to get your check, you know. You got to do a signature so you can get some money on the check you're about to get a week away from now. So when that check comes in, it's already spent because you got to get the shoes for your kids because you just got to get them because they're name brand. You know why we don't get mad? Because we used to do it too. Yeah, we did. Ooh. What about, this one's real good. This one's real good. What about the new styles that come out now? They're only just slightly different from the style from just last season that are on sale now for about $4 or $5. But the new style, because it's new, is back up to the $85 just for a shirt. But the ones that are on sale for $10, you don't want, but it's the same brand, just slightly different. But what do we do as parents? Just go on. God, when are you going to quit your crying? God, you know, this $80, I could get you about 10 shirts over here. I don't like no Walmart. I got to have me a name brand. But do you understand that my mentality, what I was going through, was constantly doing the same pattern over and over and over and expecting something different. I was the one that was insane. And I caused some grief in a marriage that I shouldn't have been causing, but I didn't like to be told the truth. And what happened with someone who told me the truth, it was on. It was on. It's just on. Just hey. Hey. I don't make mistakes. You must have not written it down when I told you to write it down. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, you are. I was that away. Now I know. I know how to do this, Jeff. I know how to do this. I got it now. Baby, how much do we have in the account? Okay. I get that one? I can't get that one today? I never get nothing. I ain't through. Mama. Mama, I need some shirts for church. Mijo, what do you need? I need some shorts, mama. Andale, let's go. Wait. Why are you going to clearance? What? Well, that's last year. Why? I may be grown, but I want some new things too. And Inez, she loves it too. She's like, mm-hmm, go call your mom. You know you're going to call your mom. Call your mom. I'm not going to call her. Hey, my mom said for us to go over there for dinner. On the way over there. Mom, what are you making for dinner? We're on our way. What? Come back. We're going to go back. See, if I didn't watch and pay attention to my own mistakes, how am I ever going to fix them? Never. But if someone that I'm supposed to be in love with tells me the truth and I don't like it, you take it with a grain of salt. Over the course of my marriage, I realized something. It was me in my past two marriages that was at fault. Do you understand? It was me. And it wasn't until I realized it when I had a good thing, that God gave me a wonderful helpmate, my soulmate, that began to remove the toxins that I would speak concerning me. And she'd always see past my mess, and she would always help me out. When you love someone that much, you realize I've got to work on me before I can work on them. Do you understand? Negative experiences. Let's talk about negative experiences. Just for the record on the CD, my wife is not a negative experience. She's the positive that changed it all for me. Did you see that one, Jeff? That was a good... Can we all say transition? Transition. We're going to transition on over here. All right. Words. Let's talk about the words now. Let's get to the words. 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 Mm-hmm. We're still on the sticks and stones. Break your bones. But words. Never. Mm-mm. Never hurt me. If you hear things, here's been proof. How many of y'all know, what's his name? Oh, he's a motivational speaker for teams. Les. Oh, I forgot. He would speak saying, if you hear something 7 times in repetition, it would be embedded into your mind and your soul. Just 7 times. Just 7. But in order to break that repetition and what you've just learned, it would take over 40 plus, I don't remember the number, and he'd prove it, 40 times to get rid of it. Do you know how easy it is to create a habit? Very easy to create a habit. Do it 3 times, that habit has become habitual. You know how hard it is to break a habit? It's 3 times as hard to break a bad habit or any habit, period. Do you know why many people don't want to start working on the bad habits that they have? Because they don't want a sense of failure. because it's hard. It's hard. But when you can begin to work on it and stay consistent on that habit, either to break it or to form it, that repetition begins to change. Words that are spoken into your spirit, spoken, take root into your mind, into your soul, which has your mind, will, and emotions. Words will control your emotions and control your will. Do you understand? What we have got to do in this season, in 2013, is we have got to begin to remove all the toxic words that have been spoken into our lives, over our lives, concerning our life. Do you understand? Toxic, involving something poisonous, relating to, containing a poison or toxin, deadly, causing serious harm or death, poisonous substance, a poison or a toxin. Toxic words cause death. It causes serious harm. It's very toxic. You understand? Now, I guess we'll just stay on this one real quick before we even get into anything else. As I know that the Lord had told me about change back in October. We began to teach it in November, December. This is the year of change. Change. This is a year also of fruition. In order for us to continue on with the change, we have to deal with within first. Do you understand? If we don't deal with ourselves and within, we'll never make change on the things that are around us that we can control. We first have to go inside to make change. I don't care how many crunches. Y'all know what crunches are? Those sit-ups that are from down there? Yeah. Woo! Burn. They burn. But you know that doing 100 crunches every day really isn't going to flatten your stomach. It's going to be your intake. It's going to be what you eat. What is going to flatten your stomach is you changing your diet. All those crunches, what they're going to do, they're going to build up and build strength and build muscle. Amen? But what we have to do is change what we're allowing to come in. We have to change that. Many diets fail because people don't want to give up their food. They don't want to give up the food. Food is so good for you. And then when you know how to really hook it up, you know what I mean, you really hook it up. Where you used to just kind of eat something, just eat because you were hungry, and just kind of, that's all right, I just ate some, just hungry. But when you get around some home-cooked food that you like, let me tell you, I like collard greens. Done right. Right. When they're done right, ooh. Whew. Lord, I just had a moment. You're going to sit there and enjoy that. Now, watch this. Oh, I can get going on some food. Now, if y'all don't know me, I like sweets. You get some banana pudding. No, I'm talking about the real nana pudding. That you leave the bee behind, you just a nana pudding. The nana pudding. That's the one that bites you back when you bite it. You know, when you say, oh, ow, that was good. When you get around something like that, and it's good. I mean, it just, that wafer that goes, no, forget all that. It's the real one. That bite, you know you're eating banana pudding. That's the good stuff. Right? Well, because we like it so much. We didn't say that it was good for you, but because it tasted good. Now, if some of y'all don't know this, but y'all like flour tortillas? Yes. What about it? Lord Jesus, help me. I just felt the spirit come in here. Well, watch this. You know when you have a good tortilla, it is not the healthiest thing for you? Because they use lard in the flour to make it. And it changes the whole texture and taste of the tortilla. Go ahead and go buy them over there at HEB. Go right ahead. But you put that lard in there. Ooh. And you make the little bolitas and you put it on the side. Oh my God. And it begins to rise. That's just worship like this before the Lord. Just worship. And when the smoke comes out of it, when it comes out like that, that is the Shekinah glory of God. I'm going to help you. But when you start doing the things that taste good, they feel good, don't always mean that it is good for you. So when you get yourself in a circumstance over and over and over and expecting something to be changed and different, it ain't good for you. Get out of that circumstance. Make that change. Put something inside of you that is good, which is called the goodness of God, the word of God in your system, in your body, to begin to make change in your soul. Okay. Jeff, can I tell it? I don't know. If we have a tendency to only want to hear the good messages, and we don't want to hear the challenging messages that are to exhort you, then you're choosing to go to only what you want to hear. And you ever wonder why you don't progress in the word? Because you only pick and choose what you want. And you don't let the real word to get into your soul. So that when the circumstance, again, the circumstance comes, then you wonder what comes out of you all the time is the same type of outcome. Because you're not putting what needs to go in your soul, the right words, that can change the circumstances that are always going to come your way. Because there's circumstances. How you handle your circumstance will change about what you put into your soul. The right words that have power, not the wrong words that cause damage and death, which is toxic. Now, there is a lot of people having to go through a detoxing in the spirit and in the natural. When you go through a detox in the natural, Lord Jesus, ooh, it is not good. If you're detoxing from a substance that is not healthy for your body begins to go through convulsions. Your body begins to go through the cold sweats. Your body will get you so disillusioned that you need to have it. You have such a craving for it. You're detoxing, but your body's craving it again. Do you understand? I don't know about you, if you've ever been delivered of drugs, and my hand's raised for a reason. But when I was craving my drug of choice, I would try to walk away and think I had the ability to quit when I wanted to quit. But the reality is, I was just trying to psych myself out to quit. I had created a habitual habit in my life that would constantly be something I would run to run away from something else. Do you understand? It wasn't until I went and dealt with this that wasn't an issue no more, that quick. Because I dealt with what was really my problem. When I dealt with that, I didn't even have an appetite. And I didn't have to go to a 12-step program. I didn't have to get prayed over. I didn't have to get delivered of anything. I realized where my deliverance was. My issue, my problem, identify with it, make change. That was done. The amen's good. But my body still had to be detoxed without the craving. Do you understand? And it wasn't as hard. But what happened was my body had to flush it out. Do you understand? Had to flush it out. And in the process of detoxing, this is what happened. Either you're going to swell because your toxins are so built up in you, they rest within the joints. They rest right in your joints. You get achy and tired. But when you begin to detox, it starts to diminish. You have more flexibility, and you're not as sore. But that process takes time. And in the spirit, it's the same thing when you get a word spoken concerning you, your future, your ministry, or what you're about to do. And it doesn't go the way you like. It's not what you want to hear. But sometimes you have even those that you love sitting next to you that speak all this stuff at you. You need to go to a spiritual detox of words. Do you understand? Because it's been detrimental to your destiny, been detrimental to where you're at currently, because you keep believing what is being spoken. The only way you're going to detox spiritually is to get the word of God in you to see who you are in him and he in you. Do you understand? And if you don't see it, you'll never be able to see it because you don't want to see it. What the word of God is going to do to you, it's going to show you a reflection of you first. Once you see you, then you'll get past everything else and you'll begin to see him in you. But we don't want this. We want the nanner puddings. We want to have the tortillas. We want to have all the things that are satisfying to the palate, but not to the soul. We've got to make change. We've got to allow the word of God to detoxify us. We're going to go through a soul detox, if you would, on Wednesday nights. I know it's getting late. I know we have kids that need to go to school. I want you, from next week, is to keep in mind some of your experiences that you have. Write them down. Put them in an envelope. Put them in an envelope. Nobody needs to see them. Put them in an envelope. Bring them Wednesday. We'll lay them at the altar, but we'll also burn them. We'll burn them. We're going to burn off the things that have had your soul all twisted and bound up by words, experiences, or circumstances. The word of God is to set you free. It brings liberty to those that are in bondage. We have got to understand that God wants to set us free. Some of the bondages that go on in church are spirits of religiosity, condemnation, rejection, being critical. But we did that for so long, we feel like we have to do it because it's the right thing to do. But the reality is, God says, I've come to set the captives free. The only way you can get set free is through the word, the acknowledgement that you need it to walk it out. When I realized that I was the problem in my other marriages, I could understand that there needed to be some change in me. I couldn't blame nobody else but me. During that time was a time that was very difficult for me and my mom. There was a time I didn't talk to my mom. There was a time I didn't want to get a phone call from my mom. There was a time I didn't want to see her or go work for her anymore. It was hard. It was difficult. But I was going through my detox. In detoxing, I began to hurt the ones I love the most. And she told me one thing. She says, I give you to God. And whatever he's going to do with you. I can't take it no more. You hurt me. And you wear me out. She placed me on the altar. And she says, I give him to you, God. Wash my hands, and he's got to be in your control. I had pushed and pushed and pushed the loved ones out of my life because I didn't want to face my own demon, my own faults. And once I realized, Marty, it's you, and you're holding it against everybody else that loves you, and you're surrounding yourself with people that are not telling you truth. The moment they tell you truth, you push them away. You need truth back in your life. And when I put truth back in my life, I thank God I met a wonderful angel called Inez. That's my wife. And she saved me from going to the grave. God's going to send you an angel. This angel is not an angel that is necessary to be in the flesh for you, but this angel is going to come to bring you hope. Give you hope of a future, to talk to you in the time that you need to be talked to, and going to bring change. The Bible very clearly states in Revelation that the angels of God that come from heaven, that are assigned to each church, I want you to lift your hands. Just lift your hands. And I want you to say this, I am the church. Now the angels that are assigned to you, I want you to invite them in. invite them in. God, the angels that you have assigned to me, I invite them into my life. The angels that are assigned to the church, I am the church. Now you have angels that will bring miracles from heaven here on earth for me, to bring change that is necessary for my life and what is necessary here on earth. Send the angels that are assigned to me to manifest what is necessary for my life. I am in need. I am in need. And your word says that you shall supply all of my needs. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those that you love so much and that are crying for so much right now because you feel like they're not where they're supposed to be, you have the authority to speak the angels into their existence, to bring about a change in their life. They may not be in church right now. They may not have the ability to get to the word, but you can speak it and say, God, the angels that I have been assigned, Lord, bring my miracle for my child, my loved one, my family members. Bring them. Because I need healing now. Now, not later, now. Help us to detox, God. Help us to detox all the words from a childhood that have even hurt us when we were supposed to be under care of authority, but yet the authority is the one that hurt us. The ones we looked after and loved the most are the ones that hurt us. Remove that negative experience in my life, God. I need the angels of Almighty God to go and do the bidding for God for me. We pierce through the heavens right now, God. And we open up the glory, God, to rain down, Father God, what is necessary for our life. To rid us of every negative word, every negative experience, and every negative circumstance that has begun to frame us to make us believe that this is who we are. You're a God that sees beyond our circumstance now. And you see us in our future. Father, I thank you that you see us in our perfected state. From that negative circumstance when someone was violated as a child, but yet they couldn't process it. They couldn't understand what they were going through. They couldn't understand the one that they loved was the one that violated them. The one that they felt like they had to just surrender to because they were just a child. But God, right now, I pray that you just remove that right now off of their life and remove that toxin from their soul, God, that has brought death into their spirit, Lord. I speak life and liberty into their soul. God Almighty, I thank you. Oh, my God. A disappointment and a letdown because you feel like everything that you were going through and everything that you did, it was based upon your actions and it just never worked out. And you felt like you've taken things away from me because I'm not worthy to receive. Oh God, just send forth your angels now, God, to move and do your bidding here on earth, God. Everything, God. Every soul tie that has been connected to us, God, that has brought about aches and pains in our spirit, in our heart, God. We cry out unto you, God. Bring liberty. Bring liberty into our soul, God. Release us and loose us of our iniquities of our past, the iniquities of our fathers, God, the iniquities of those that were in soul ties with God. We break them and we cast them out, God, together as a family, God. We are the church. We are the church, God. I thank you, God, that you even entered into the temple and you even turned over the money tables. God, I thank you for the cleansing of the church. Cleanses, for we are the church, God. Remove every toxin, every word that was spoken that said you would never be anything or amount to anything. You will always be like your daddy or like your mama and never amount to anything. Oh, that you will even die at a young age because of the way that you live your life,
All of those words became toxins to your soul, and I bind it now in the name of Jesus. My God. Oh, God Almighty. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I hear it, I hear it. I was the poison, God. I was the poison that brought death and pain into people's lives that were not healthy. Now, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, God, for being that way. And I ask you to forgive me, God, for my words and my actions, my anger, my outburst. And I ask for total forgiveness so that I can see my daughter once again. God, detox us of everything that we have even done to ourselves, God. We need your word, God, that has power and brings life into our soul, God. We need your tongue to speak, God, to speak in the atmosphere to bring healing, God, into our circumstance now. We need your healing, God. Detox our soul, oh God, of every word, every circumstance, and every bad situation, God, so that we have an understanding that our past doesn't dictate to us our future, God. Nor our todays dictate who we are. But your word tells us that we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. God, I love you and I thank you that your church is being cleansed, detoxed, and rid of every bad circumstance. And every word that framed us to believing this is who we would become. God, I believe this is a healing message into the body of Christ that will heal and restore relationships. Sons to the fathers and fathers to the sons. Mothers to their children and children to their mothers. Sons in the spirit to the fathers in the spirit. But more importantly, healing to a church back unto the Father in heaven that doesn't hold the negative experiences and hold it on God. But we truly all need to be detoxed. Cleanse our soul, oh God. As Jacob looked up into the heavens, he said he saw the ladder that ascended unto the heavens. And he saw a host of angels ascending and descending. God, I thank you for the open heavens. The messengers and the heavenly host come forth to speak unto your church in these days. And that we have an ear to hear. And that we're obedient to your word. Father, I just thank you right now for your sweet presence of your spirit, God. I thank you that we walk with the spirit of the living God, that we serve a God that is alive today and forever, who is all-knowing. He's omniscient, knows everything, and he's omnipresent. He is everywhere. You're everywhere in my circumstance, God. And you know what my needs are before I even ask or even think of it. And in the area of my soul that I've just put things down in a way that I never wanted to touch, never wanted to go back to, God, I surrender it to you. I surrender it to you. Detox my soul, God. So that my will can be intertwined with your will. Surrendered unto you. God, I thank you for making a change in our life.